This is the Eurosnob Podcast.
Everybody, I'd like to welcome you into the Eurosnob Podcast. My name is Ian Smith, and as always, I'm joined by Alex John. Alex, how are you today, man?
I'm not doing too badly here, Ian. How about yourself?
Hey, you know, I can't really complain too much. The weather outside is god-awful, so that's the only negative. We're looking at like 39, 40 degrees and rainy right now.
I know how I know what you're feeling like. It's like 60s here.
You have no idea.
60s. High 60s in Florida.
Yeah, that must be nice. Give me a couple weeks, man, then I'm just going to be relaxing on a beach in the Dominican. So, I can't wait.
Something to look forward to.
That's for sure. That's for sure. So, we've got we're going to have a pretty quick episode for you here. I actually have to run off and go play some men's league at 9:30 at night because, you know, that's what I need to do before I have to wake up early for work. So, we're going to jump right into it. Middlesbrough, what were your takeaways from that game?
Frustration more than anything, because I actually think 0-0 probably reflected how we played. If anything, we might have gotten a little lucky there because I think Middlesbrough had the better chances. And I don't like saying that after games, and I don't like people to say, oh, well, they deserved a point or they deserved a win. But all things considered, when you look at the performance, I think a point is probably about the best we could have asked for, which is disappointing because that was a Middlesbrough team that came in on a really bad run of form. And, you know, I think there are some issues that we're certainly going to get into, starting in midfield, obviously. But what were your takeaways?
Yeah, I mean, the main takeaways for me, obviously disappointed not to get to 3 points. But, you know, that's certainly disappointing. I don't know how to want to say it. It was a good opportunity for us really to pick up point best chances in the game, to be honest, to score goals.
I mean, and when you say they didn't do anything spectacular defensively, I think that's sort of one of the issues that I was hoping to get into is breaking teams down, because I think coming into this game, we all knew how Middlesbrough was going to play. I think we knew how they would set up roughly, that they would use Negredo as an outlet and, you know, try to hit on the break. But for the most part, they honestly did kind of bunker down for large stretches of the game. And it almost seemed to catch us by surprise. And that's something I think I tweeted after the game. I'm not sure why it continues to catch us by surprise that teams come to the Emirates and bunker down. You know, obviously we were limited by some of the personnel we didn't have available. I think that's certainly fair. You know, no Cazorla, no Giroud, no Ramsey. So I think that it's not an excuse, but that's certainly part of the reason. But, you know, I just think in terms of creating chances, the buildup was so slow in midfield. I mean, when you have Coquelin and Elneny playing in there, they really end up occupying the same positions. And in turn, you don't have a link between defense and your attack, you know, because Elneny's not really a ball carrier. Coquelin certainly isn't. You know, so Ozil has to drop deeper, Alexis has to drop deeper, and I think that just influenced how we played out that game. I'm curious to hear your thoughts on that, though.
Yeah, I think what you just hit on there really is, for me, the biggest takeaway of that game. Coquelin, Elneny, not a pairing that really works. Part of what you need for to break down a team that's going to sit pretty deep, you need somebody that can pass between the lines. You know, like the kind of passing that Xhaka, the kind of passing that Cazorla bring. With those two in there, your passing, for the most part, is side to side. A lot of our attacks, you know, the main area of our attacks came down the flanks. We didn't really get Ozil nearly as involved as we needed to. Alexis was isolated because of that, because we didn't have anybody to play the ball, to go and pick the ball up from the backs and play the ball into Alexis and Ozil's feet. So, like I said, for me, that's my biggest takeaway, is just that pairing. And I think that, and another thing that is a bit of a takeaway, is that I think we saw Monreal's struggles continue a little bit.
Yeah, that's something I definitely want to get into, because I think there are some legitimate questions that need to be asked. But I'm kind of curious to get your take on the Coquelin-Elneny partnership. I mean, when you watch them, you know, it's hard to distinguish who is playing what role, you know what I mean? Because I think Coughlin's almost better when he's playing deepest. You know, I think he, when he tries to get into attack, he just kind of mucks things up, and because he's not a threat to do anything, but at the same time, he's occupying space that I think Ozil and Alexis want to drift into. You know, at the same time, I'm not sure Elneny's a natural holding midfielder. I think he's more of a, I think he can play more as a box-to-box midfielder because he does have that engine and he has the ability to you know, hit shots from deep and get involved in the attack. So I'm kind of curious to see, you know, like when you watch them, who did you think performed better? Did you think that they just limited each other too much in terms of the spaces they occupied? Or, you know, was it just a case of, you know, the team that we're playing against and then this particular midfield might work in other games?
To me, I think they look confused on who was playing what role. We've seen that Coughlin has played a little bit more of a box-to-box when he's played with Cazorla. And like you said about Elneny, he's more of a box-to-box guy. He has a big range. He likes to get forward. He likes to get down the flanks. So I think that's the issue there, where they both were trying to do the same things and they never looked like they're on the same page as to who needs to sit back and who needs to go forward. And they, like you said, they occupied way too much of the same space. And that's one thing if you've got the play, if it's Cazorla and Xhaka in there where they are occupying the same space, but they're making passes out of that space. When you have players that are limited in their game as far as passing and they're occupying the same space, the word you used was muddled, and I think that hits the nail right on the head, that it just muddles everything up, and it's hard to – I think one of the other things about them is that neither of them are really – and you can put Ozil in there too. None of those three are really rhythm-based players. Somebody like Cazorla and Xhaka, they're really, really important to our side in that they get the ball, they move the ball. They keep the pace and the rhythm of our buildup going. And with the two of them in there, a lot of it was it just seemed disjointed, and it didn't ever really seem to pick up the pace we needed or have that kind of that killer edge that we really needed.
Yeah, and I think going along with that, because I think that's a great point, I think the rest of the team had to compensate for that midfield, because I think you saw Mustafi almost pushing up higher and trying to play passes into feet in attack. And, you know, potentially that opens up space behind him if he has to push forward. You know, the fullbacks, same thing. You know, they had to push a little bit higher up, you know, more frequently. Alexis, Iwobi, Ozil, all dropping deeper. So really what that leaves you is a defense that's completely bunkered down. At the same time, you've got no one to go behind and exploit that space. You know, Theo didn't have a great game. Alexis didn't have a great game. Ozil was pretty poor, to be honest. But, you know, I think the whole team sort of had to compensate for that. So I'm hesitant to criticize a lot of those guys too much, because I think it really was that central partnership. And again, obviously it's, you know, I don't think Arsene Wenger had much of a choice. Although I think there was a strong argument to be made to bring on Oxlade-Chamberlain in midfield earlier to play with Elneny, because I don't think, you know, I think that would have created a little bit more of an opportunity to break Middlesbrough down. But, you know, at the same time, you also get into the what-if question, because I think a lot of people for the previous game against Ludogorets were asking why not rest Santi here? It's not a, you know, playing Monday morning quarterback thing. I think it was a thing where people were saying it before the game, you know, here's a perfect chance to rest Santi. You know, he's got an Achilles injury. You know, you don't know how bad that is, but, you know, here's a game where Xhaka was going to be suspended for the next three games anyways. I think you play him there, rest Santi. Now Santi's hurt. You know, if he misses a couple games, especially if he misses the North London Derby, you know, we're really going to struggle because, you know, Ramsey's not yet fully fit. So I think there was an error in management there. You know, and I'm not one to criticize selection things in terms of how injuries play out, but I think there was an argument to be made there.
Yeah, no, sorry. I just wanted to jump in there on your point. I think Wenger that's really his weakest point as a manager. He's shown that over the years, that he's able to find a team that works and then sticks with it. But when it comes to having to rotate, that's really where I think he makes some of his poorest decisions, is in that area. So I wasn't surprised to see Santi play. I like you, I agree. He probably should have sat him there, especially because of the Xhaka suspension. Honestly, that's the only reason why I would have sat him. I would have rested Santi at Ludogorets. If not for that, I would have said play Santi at Ludogorets and then bring in Xhaka for Burrow. But obviously, that couldn't happen. So, yeah, no, I definitely think that there was an error there on his part.
Yeah, and I think, you know, it puts you in a tough position now because, you know, you don't want to play this Coughlin on any pivot any more than you have to. So, you know, for our sake, you certainly hope that the that the Santi injury is not too bad. You know, we'd ideally like him back before the Spurs game. You know, I haven't heard anything in regards to any sort of injury report as of yet. You know, but certainly, you know, it wasn't just midfield. I think there were some other issues. And actually, one of the issues you brought up that I think really merits some attention, because I think there's been enough of the season to ask this question, is should Monreal be a guaranteed starter anymore at left back? What are your thoughts?
I don't think so. He seems to be having a really, really difficult time dealing with pacey attackers. You know, we saw that at Swansea where he had an absolutely miserable day, where he was just getting walked the entire day. And part of that is who he has playing in front of him. He's not getting a ton of cover from Iwobi. You know, that's been a trouble spot with Iwobi's game, is that he hasn't exactly figured out the defensive part of playing out there. But he also needs to, you know, he's not getting the support, but when he's one-on-one with a pacey winger, he's getting beat almost every single time. And we saw that happen at Swansea. We saw it happen again at Middlesbrough. And that's definitely concerning for me. I mean, I don't think that he's at all guaranteed first choice out there. I mean,
I think you brought up a really good point there about the one-on-one defending, because the argument I've gotten from a lot of people on Twitter is, oh, you know, Iwobi's leaving him vulnerable. And that's certainly true to some extent, you know, because Iwobi naturally drifts inside. So for him to get back out wide and cover, you know, cover Monreal, he struggled with that for sure. But when it's come to the one-on-one defending, that's where Monreal's had the struggles. It hasn't been when there's been a numerical advantage or an overlap. It's been strictly one-on-one defending. And Traore at Burrow, I mean, Jesus Christ, he was giving Monreal a torrid time, and it looked like every time he got the ball, he could breeze past Monreal. And you know, Monreal has usually been able to compensate because, you know, he positions himself well and he reads the game well. But I think he's lost a step of pace to where, even though his game reading is pretty good, I think his body isn't necessarily cooperating with him. And I want to give you credit on something, because I think towards the beginning of the season, I think you mentioned that you thought Gibbs might get back into the side. And I was thinking about that recently, and I think there's an argument to be made there. And I'm going to give you a chance to pat yourself on the back with this one.
I mean, I wasn't going to bring it up, but that's kind of what I saw in Monreal's game. Cause we saw that from time to time last year, that he did struggle a little bit with those pacey wingers. And I mean, to be fair, a lot of backs are going to struggle with a pacey winger. That's what makes pacey wingers so dangerous. But I think Gibbs offers a little bit more pace than that. And, you know, mentally Gibbs isn't quite up to where Monreal is. That's for sure. You know, there's no real denying that, but I think it's going to be an interesting battle as the season goes on. But, you know, just since we're so short with time, I kind of would like to move into a bigger, to a more broad view of this. Does our last couple of performances, Burnley and Middlesbrough, I know we hung six on Ludogorets. Are you concerned at all about those two? About teams, for example, that, is there a blueprint that teams are now seeing, okay, this is how we stop this version of Arsenal? And do you think that that's something that we're going to be able to figure out and figure out how to break those teams down?
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because, you know, initially I was going to throw the Swansea game into that discussion, but in all honesty, in that game, I think we created tons of chances and we probably should have put that one away fairly easily, so we made that one a lot more difficult than we had to. I do think there's definitely credence to what you said about Burnley and Middlesbrough. You know, those teams are going to come to the Emirates with one way to play, and you know, I think they're, you know, they use pacey outlets on the wings, and then, you know, some sort of target forward up front who can kind of hold the ball up and then, you know, kind of relieve pressure. But by and large, they're pretty comfortable to let us have it in the final third and just pass it around and try to probe and try to find openings. You know, obviously you'd want the speed of play to be a little quicker, especially in transition, because I think once you let the defense get set, you're going to have a tough time breaking them down. And with the formation we're playing right now with Alexis up top, you know, you don't necessarily, there's only really one way we can play it. You know, a lot of it is, you know, we're trying to play quick passing and then trying to find these openings and 1-2s and combos. So, you know, if that's not necessarily coming off, we don't have a plan B where this is there. We had an aerial threat to bring in, or, you know, not necessarily just whip in crosses, because I think that blanket strategy is kind of useless. But at the same time, just being able to vary our play a little bit. And I know with Giroud coming back, I think he'll probably get some time. And maybe there's a thought to where you move Alexis back left because he covers Monreal better. But yeah, I definitely think there's some concern there in terms of breaking teams down, just because it's not a new issue. But I would be curious to hear how you might make those adjustments against those lower echelon teams.
You know, the thing, you know, you brought up Olivier Giroud, and I think he's going to be huge in that sense, because not necessarily in getting on the ends of crosses, which he obviously will be better than our current forwards at doing that, but he provides a target, because you know where he's going to be. He's going to play on that deepest center back, and he is pretty good at linking up play, pulling his little flicks off and 1-2s around the box. Think about Alexis is the one that likes to start the 1-2s around the box, and when he does that, there's nobody in that spot for him to work off of. So by having Giroud in there, that opens up more of that quick passing game around the box, because you do have that target. You know, he's definitely not going to be somebody who's going to step in and start for us all the time, but he'll be a plan B off the bench, which is something that in past years we haven't really had. So kind of to go to the larger point, am I concerned about this? No, not yet. If we start putting performances like this together, or if we keep putting these performances together the same way, and we don't start finding a way to get 3 points, yeah, I'm going to start getting a little bit concerned about that. But right now, I mean, it's only been two. We've still been putting up clean sheets and not giving up goals. So, and to be fair, you know, it's pretty cliche, but in past years, this is a game that we would have found a way to lose.
Yeah, I think this Saturday against Sunderland is going to be, you know, a pretty good barometer of whether we're going to be able to make those adjustments, because Sunderland is not going to do anything differently than Middlesbrough did. Let's be honest. We're going to see the same game unfold. So I'm curious to see if we make any changes for that. I don't think we will. You know, one thing I would say is, like, when you're playing against the Chelseas or the Cities or the United, those teams are comfortable enough in their ball possession and their attack that they're going to push up a little higher, play high line. So, you know, you can play that Alexis up top with, and he's going to find space to exploit against these teams. It's a deeper, he can still do very well. And he has, he's obviously had a good season so far. But it just presents a different challenge, certainly. And it'll be curious to see, because November is going to be a really tough month. You know, we get Tottenham at home. We have PSG at home. We have United away. I mean, those are three really difficult games, because by and large, our schedule up until now has not been that challenging, all things considered. So, you know, any trepidation on your part, not trepidation, but any concern or just wariness about those games coming up, especially given, you know, their importance and trying to not fall behind in the title race right now, because, you know, City are in a bad patch of form. United, or I don't know what's going on with United.
And Mourinho is what's going on with United.
I mean, Liverpool, you could probably say, has been the best team in the league, in my opinion. So
I would
far.
Say so, yeah.
So, you know, you really don't want to fall behind because there's so many teams in the race. So any concern there?
No, I don't think so. I'm definitely curious to see how we get on against Spurs. I mean, that's going to be a real test to see where we're at this point in time. I'm not sure as far as who we're going to have available. Xhaka's back for that game, correct?
He'll be back for the derby, yeah.
Okay, yeah. So once again, here comes a point in time when we face our old nemesis, technology. For some reason, the last 10 minutes or so of our podcast didn't get uploaded to YouTube, and we have completely lost it. So hopefully the 20 minutes we had for you here was a good discussion on where we're at, where we've been over the last couple of games, and hopefully it's enough to hold you over for another week or so. I'm assuming we'll try and do something again next week for you to catch up on this weekend's game and talk about anything else that comes up over the weekend. So, you know, unfortunately, like I said, not going to catch the last 10 minutes, but you can find us on Twitter as always. Alex is at UFGoonerAJ. You can find myself at GunnersFan6. Our podcast Twitter handle, EuroSnobPod. Don't forget, check out our blog site. We've got a new feature that's going to be up there after every Premier League game and probably Champions League game. Steven is going to be doing some post-match commentary and player ratings, things like that for us. He's got one up on the Burrow game. So hop on over there, give it a read. And I've got a piece up on why I think this should be Arsene Wenger's last season at the helm of Arsenal. So again, we have to apologize, but we've been defeated by technology. For some reason, I feel like that's always going to happen. Maybe we need to find ourselves, you know, if anybody's got a little brother or something that knows more about this technology shit than I do, their help would be greatly appreciated. So until next time, guys, we'll talk to you later. Take care.